Okay, if you could, inshallah, tell us about how you converted to Islam and also some of the milestones that, in retrospect, led to your conversion. And last but certainly not least, we have Ifi, and she'll be sharing her story.
So I'm Ifi, not Ifi. I grew up Christian. My parents are from Nigeria. I was born in New York, very small town, predominantly white. I think the only color were really the children of the professors, like, so my dad is a professor and I was part of the color there. My dad is not really Christian. He says he's Christian by invitation, which means if you invite him to a wedding or a funeral or that, you know, but otherwise he doesn't, you know, kind of do anything. My mother is a little more devout. She's actually much more devout. She goes to church. She took us to Sunday school. She took us to Bible camp in the summer, that kind of stuff. I always felt a little confused in Sunday school. Sunday school was fun, but it just, I was always confused. And so when we started praying and my mother was teaching us how to pray, I remember my nighttime prayers. I didn't really understand the concept of Jesus and Lord and the Holy Spirit. I would always say at night, I'd be like, goodbye, good night, God, and Mrs. God. Goodnight, yeah. You couldn't understand. Yeah. What, like, I mean, it was just confusing to me.
Good night, stars.
It was confusing to me as a child. And when I got older, like middle school, and our parents couldn't really force us to go to church anymore, we stopped, like all of us, all of my siblings. There were four of us. And so we just kind of like, you know, from there, we just were, like, pretty secular. Like, we didn't practice. I mean, maybe we believed in God, but we're just, like, Christianity, it wasn't really for us. And I don't really have too many memories of having any Muslim friends. I don't think I had any Muslim friends. Looking back, I see some people had, like, Muslim-sounding names, so maybe they were Muslim, but they didn't share that with us. So I didn't really know any Muslim. They didn't know much about Islam. I'd heard about Islam. I mean, you know, you hear about the Hajj on the news. You hear about Muslims fasting in Ramadan, that kind of thing. And I thought that was really cool. I actually tried to fast in high school during Ramadan because I was like, this is just, it was too amazing to me. I heard about some, like, Muslim basketball players fasting in Ramadan. So I tried, I mean, like, fake fast, though. Like, yeah. And I said I would only drink water and bread.
Yeah.
It was so hard.
That's the Christian fast, yeah. Anyway.
It was the hardest thing. I couldn't do it. I could never make, like, a whole day. So I was kind of, a bad kid. Got into a lot of stuff. I mean, bad and, like, you know, like, I mean, just rebellion, because, like, I mean, I was a good kid. But, like, I rebelled at home, and then, like, we had to rebel at school. So,
examples? Any examples you'd like to share?
No, so my crowd was kind of like the smart kids who are, like, too jaded to, like, you know, we're too jaded to care. And also, like, a little bit of ghetto, little street pharmacy. And I think, like, when I graduated, you know, we were all going away to college, and, you know, that's a big change for us, because small town, I knew everyone from kindergarten through 12th grade. So before that, summer before I left for college, or to move to this area, I grew up in New York, so I moved here, actually to Centerville, I kind of just had in my mind, like, I'm not going to do some things. Like, I was going to leave street pharmacy behind. I was going to leave, you know, certain things behind. It's just like, I wasn't religious, but I was just like, I don't want to live my life going forward with some of these things. I moved here to Centerville August 31st, 2001, and 9/11 happened 12 days later. And some of my mother's coworkers died. They're in one of the planes. And so they died, and so it really brought it home. Also, my neighbor, she was, like, working in D.C. for a defense contractor. And I just remember that fear of her trying to get home. So 9/11 obviously is a big shock for me. I wasn't religious, but, you know, Islam was in the news. People are talking about Muslims. I wanted to know, because I didn't know about Islam. I didn't know what the Quran said. I didn't know any Muslims. I went to the library, and I passed by a Quran, I took it, you know. I wasn't there for the Quran, I was actually just there for fiction books. And so with my fiction, I got the Quran, and I read it one night. I remember I was in bed, and I just, you know, I was like, let me just start this before I go to bed. And I just, you know, opened it to the beginning, and it was like a revelation. Because I'd read the Bible, you know, Bible study, all that kind of thing, but the Bible to me never really spoke to me. It just, I mean, it was like nice literature. I like the English. I like to read. But when I read the Quran that first time, I really felt like God was speaking to me. And this is like, I wasn't religious. I was not religious, but I really felt like something powerful, something I hadn't felt before. And so that night, I prayed. And I hadn't prayed since I don't know when, probably in 5 years, 10 years. I hadn't prayed in a really long time. And so I prayed, and I'm like, God, Allah, I don't know what to call you. If this is the truth, help me to accept it. And so I read a few more surahs, just, you know, skipping here and there. And it sounded good. And I returned the book. But I couldn't make that jump because I'm secular, grew up Christian. I don't know how to make the jump to being Muslim. Or even religious, because I wasn't really religious. I was very happy being agnostic. Like, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't. I'm okay, you know? Just be a moral person. Yeah. And I ordered, like, 20 books on Amazon, though. About Islam. Like, I just wanted to find out, because I was like, I can't believe, you know, you don't go around thinking you're ignorant of something. I was pretty well read. I kept up to date. But definitely I was ignorant of about Islam. So I ordered these 20 books, and I read them, like, all, cover to cover. And they were just, like, I was like, this is good. I like it. I didn't have any objections, but I couldn't make that jump. Like, I'm just like, it sounds good, but I'm over here. And so the Mormons came to our door, and you know how they do, they door to door. And they were like, can we help you with anything? I'm like, no. And actually, I was moving to Maryland at that time. We were actually in the process of moving. And so, I don't know why, but I actually gave them my address in Maryland. Because they're so, like, helpful. They're like, you know.
They're like the nicest people
they
ever.
They offered to do yard work. Yeah. They offered to help us carry the boxes. And so, when I moved to Maryland, they actually came. They came. And I was really surprised. So, they came for 5 days, and they did these 15-minute presentations. And for me, I didn't want to be Mormon. I just wanted to ask them why they didn't let black people in their church till 1978. Yeah. Ask them, like, all right, because they were so sincere. Like, they, I mean, you know, you can't just ask people like that, you know. I mean, I wanted to ask them. I wanted to ask them, but I couldn't just, because they were so sincere, and I just, you know, I couldn't, like, I know I have a reputation for being, like, rough and humble, but it's very soft. And so they, you know, I definitely didn't want to be Mormon. So that Friday, they came and they're like, Sister Ify, they were calling me Sister Ify, do you want to come to our church on Sunday? And I was like, okay. Just because I didn't want to be like, you know. And so they left. And then Friday, I was just like, how can I get out of going to their church on Sunday? And so I couldn't figure out, like, what I'm going to say. Like, what am I going to say? They were going to come and pick me up on Sunday morning. And so I called them. You know, I had their phone number. And thankfully, they weren't home. So I left a voicemail, and I'm like, look, I don't really believe in this Mormonism thing. Thank you. You don't have to come anymore. Like, I'm not going to your church on Sunday. That was it. And of course, they called me back when they came home. They called me back, and they're like, Sister Ify, what happened to you? You know, do you need us to come see you? And I'm like, no, you don't have to come. They were shocked, because they thought they had been making progress. And so they were like, what happened? I tried to be like, you know, I don't really believe in, like, the Trinity. I don't really believe in this original sin. Christians believe in original sin. Muslims don't. Muslims believe you're born pure. Everyone's born pure. And just, I just kept giving them the list. Like, I don't believe in this. I don't really believe in this. And I was like, what about people of other faiths? You know, like Muslims? Where are they going to end up? And they, you know, they were just, Sister Ify, just accept Jesus. Can't you just accept Jesus? And I'm like, no.
Right.
But, you know, they just kept pushing me, like, why can't you accept Jesus? Why can't you accept Jesus? And I was just like, because I'm Muslim. Oh. And that was the first time I admitted it to myself, because before I'm just like, it sounds good. And, of course, I admitted it to them. And so they actually did come again. I didn't open the door. That day, I was just like, what do I do now? Because I had read so much about Islam, I know, like, if you know about Islam and you turn away, you know, it could be bad news for you. So I Googled how to become Muslim that night and got the transliteration of the Shahada, the words you say when you become Muslim, and I said it there.
So if you could pick one example, we'd like to hear a little bit about your about changes in your relationships with either your family, coworkers, or friends. How did these relationships change, and what was the reaction of, you know, one person, or, so just pick one example if you could, and tell them, and then we'll go.
You know, I guess I would say my family. In addition to being Christian, we're also Igbo. Igbo is a tribe in Nigeria. It's a very Christian tribe. I try to explain it for people who aren't familiar with Nigeria. The Igbos are kind of like the Saudis are Muslim. So Saudi Arabia, you think of Saudis as being Muslim. That's how the Igbos are Christian. And so for someone to become Muslim is kind of seen as, I don't know, going over to the dark side.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of hostility. I actually didn't tell my family that I became Muslim. I didn't tell them at all. I've been Muslim for 10 years, but I didn't tell my mother. I lived at the time, we had just moved here, so I lived with my mother, and my dad was in New York, and my siblings were all away at college and things. So I didn't tell anyone. I had the van on my computer, you know, the little program, and I left. I was always very careful to, like, turn off the speakers before I left the house or close the program, but I guess one day I forgot to turn off the program or turn off the speakers, and the van went off when my mother was home. And I was, like, out at work. And so I came home, and she was, like, looking at me. Yeah, you know when your parents are mad at you. Like, and I was like, what? She's like, are you Muslim now? Yeah. She's like, are you Muslim now? And I'm like, why? You know? Like, I still wasn't sure. How can I get out of this? And I think this is a really big thing that sometimes we overlook, is that while you're trying to practice and you like your faith, dealing with your family and your life before is a challenge. Like, I know people are like, you know, why aren't you wearing hijab? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? I think we have to just recognize where people come from. It's a struggle. So, I mean, of course, she knew. I mean, what was I going to say then? So I told her, yes, I'm Muslim. And my mother and I actually didn't talk for about 18 months. And we lived together. And so if we did talk, she would say something very negative about Islam. And of course, now in Islam, Islam teaches us to respect our parents. So what am I going to say back? I can't say anything back to her. You know, especially because then if I get mad, she'll be like, is that what Islam teaches you? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was that definitely a lot of tension. I mean, we would be going to the store. Next thing I know, we're at the pastor's house. And, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, trying to reconvert me to Christianity. They thought it was a phase. And my mother was actually embarrassed to be seen with me. She didn't want to be seen with me. Once I started, like, wearing hijab, she didn't want to be seen with me, which is really hard because, you know, you want your parents to be pleased with you. And it's hard to hear your parents say, like, they're embarrassed to be with you. Now, 10 years on, she's much better. She can actually admit that I'm Muslim. Like, she will introduce me to her coworkers, her friends, and be like, this is my daughter. She's Muslim. and she tried to buy me a hijab for Eid or something. So, I mean, she tried. You know, she went to Nigeria recently. And she brought me back some really gaudy outfit. She was like, listen, I saw the Muslim girls, the Muslim college girls wearing this. It's like red and not my style. But it's nice. I mean, she
does not wear like loud and,
I know,
and
yeah.
wild clothing I know. Or, yeah.
So, I mean, I think at least now she can say that I'm Muslim, and she'll say that Islam made me a better person. And so I think that's just a big thing. Also, I think I went through that phase of, like, having a Muslim name.
What was it? I have to ask. What was it?
Zainab. And so, I didn't really want to take a Muslim name. Muslim name. Right? What is a Muslim name? The Muslim name is any name that you have and you're Muslim, right? Basically. It should be, but it's not. So, after I converted, I knew I didn't have to take a Muslim name. There's so much pressure. People are like, sister, yeah. You have to. My name's Ify. That's my name. Like, my parents gave it to me. I like it. Ify means something beautiful. But people are like, no, you need a Muslim name. And so, like, I actually met this guy on the bus. Like, we rode the bus in Rockville, like, the 58th, every day. And so he is Nigerian, and he was like, you remind me of my little sister. You know, so he gave me the name. He's like, her name's Zainab, you're Zainab. And that kind of stuck with me for several years. It makes it easier to just integrate into the community. People don't answer you questions when you come with a name like Zainab. You know, then when you come with a name like Ify that people can't pronounce, they call you Ify. So I think my mother, you know, I didn't realize then and I was very happy to take this Muslim name. I was like, you know, whatever. I'm like, Islam, billboard, walk. But I didn't realize how much that hurt my parents. Because obviously your parents give you your name. And they gave me a good name. It was actually my grandmother's name, it's my aunt's name. It goes back, like a tradition in our family. I mean, obviously, they always called me Ify, and I was never like, you have to call me Zainab. Once I reasserted, I remember when I took my name back, reasserted my name as Ify, I was in the car going to New York City, and my Muslim friend, she was in the front seat calling me Zainab. My mom was actually in the back. She was in the back. She wanted to be in the back. She was in the back seat calling me Ify. I just thought, like, how weird is that? Mm-hmm. Like, my friend here, my Muslim friend, is calling me Zainab, and my mom is calling me Ify. And so I just said, you know, just make this easy. We'll go by Ify. And so my mom, at her work, after she had become okay with my Islam, she introduced me to one of her coworkers. This is my daughter. She's Muslim. Her name is Zainab. And, like, she kind of, like, hesitated. And I'm like, Mom, my name's Ify. And I can't tell you how happy that made my mother. Like, her face was like the moon. Like, her smile was just so... And I realized how much, you know, Islam is hard. It's hard for my family to accept. And so, like, you have to just choose your battles wisely. Like, if you don't need to take a Muslim name, don't do it. And if someone converts, please don't ask them to take a Muslim name. Yeah, if they want to, no problem.
Yeah.
But, like, there are enough struggles as is. So, I think one other struggle, I was, like, I almost got married. I was about to get married. And I think that's another thing. You convert, it's like, change your name, get married.
Yeah.
I don't know. Make children or something.
Change your name, leave your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Start covering, work, and so, get married.
You know, like, the brother, yeah, my son is a good brother. He was like, he didn't want to tell my parents before we got married. And, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just like in this new Muslim glow or something. I almost married him without telling my parents. And, like, the imam was okay with it. He's like, you don't have to tell your parents, you know. And I just, like, looking back at that, I'm like, how awful would that have been? That I get married and I don't tell my parents and they don't come. Can you imagine, like, me coming with my husband later and being like, this is my husband. Without even, like, saying hello to my dad or something. Like, that, sometimes, like, in our new Muslim zeal, we go forward. Like, Islam is perfect, but I think sometimes we don't consider the ramifications of our actions. And so, my family, extended family, not happy with my Islam. But that's okay. And my siblings are okay with it, and my family's okay with it.
So we'll do about, like, 30 seconds to a minute each.
Sure.
One thing that you, what one piece of advice you would like to give to Muslims, so that they can make it easier for other converts in their transition to becoming a Muslim and kind of maintaining their Islam. So real quick, you know, a piece of advice, inshallah. So Ify, we'll start with you.
Okay, so I think when you convert, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama. Islam is nice. People are in love with it. So I think the main thing is just support the person wherever they are. Don't try and force your own Islam, whatever you think, hijab, whatever. Those things aren't as important. I know so many people have converted and they've left Islam. And they were like covering.
Too much pressure.
And they were praying. They were doing, but they didn't have the internal. I think, like, it's so easy to focus on the external. I look Muslim, so everything must be okay. But really, it's a process. It's a journey. And don't push people away from Islam with things that aren't important. Not saying that hijab and things aren't important, they're important, but they're not the main thing. Believing in God is the main thing, and then everything else can come. Without that internal, it doesn't matter if you have the external, because you lose it just as quickly as you can. I think one nice thing, like, I don't like when people put things on my car. Muslim, not Muslim.
Yeah.
I just don't like when people put things on my car. But one thing I find, I don't actually mind when people try and convert me to their faith, because it opens a dialogue for religion. Because religion is, you know, no one wants to talk about it. Nobody talks about religion. I mean, I go to pray sometimes, and I just, like, I'm like, I gotta pray. You know, like, and so I actually like, you know, like, that show All American Muslim. I never saw it. But, like, so many people, so many of my coworkers were like, Ify, did you see, like, All American Muslim last night? I'm like, no. But, like, it opened the conversation about, not like I'm trying to convert them or they're trying to convert me, but I actually like those opportunities. Even if people are like, do you want to come to my church for the Christmas pageant? And I'm like, no. But like, it opens that conversation. And I would just say one thing, to be, like, really careful with language. I know, like we said, non-believers, but people aren't necessarily non-believers. They can be Christian, they can be Hindu. It doesn't mean they don't believe just because they're not Muslim. And also, Muslims, the same thing, convert, revert. Just use language that's open, non-judgmental, and people understand that.
Try to leave hell out of the conversation.
That's true, yeah.
And, you know.
Burning to death.
And yeah. Worse than disgusting four-letter words, you know. Kufar. for profit, you know? And it just drives me crazy because it's like, yeah, who are you to judge? She was the idol worshiper, but people use it for anyone that's really
not Muslim.
And, you know, they're all evil, and it's their fault that everything's going wrong in the world, and you know, women are, you know, losing their morality, or anyone is, or every sin is because of those people, not, you know,
ourselves
and the shaitan, you know, and the devil tempting us and bringing us down. So, try not to be mean to people or scare them to death, because they'll run away.
I would say one thing, too. Like, when people say kufar, you know, they throw that out. I'm like, you're talking about my family.
Yeah.
This is my family. Yeah. Like, I love them, you know. And so it's hurtful because, one, it's my family. Yeah. Or, you know, my friends. I mean, I have friends that aren't Muslim. So, I mean, it's just something to keep in, just, I mean, for everyone, all of us, just to be conscious with them.